Good evening to all of you, my dear children, and welcome to Mira English Literature Program. Today we are going to discuss a poem from grade 10, First Term, The Eagle by Alfred Lord Tennyson. First we will discuss about the poet. I would like to say that Alfred Lord Tennyson belongs to the Victorian era. And he was born at Lincolnshire, England. At the age of 14, he started to continue literature. He was the most outstanding student at the Cambridge University. And he won the prize for poetry also. He was a world-renowned poet during the Victorian era and was the poet laureate. He was the first Englishman to be granted such a high rank as Lord by Queen Victoria, and was known as, after that he got, he was, granted as Alfred Lord Tennyson. If not, he was Alfred Tennyson. But at the age of 63, he died. And the other thing is, now we should understand, we should talk about the Victorian era students. Here, you must be knowing that even in Sinhala, we have eras like Polonnaruwa Yuga, Anuradhapura Yuga, like that. In English also, students, we have eras such as Romanticism, Victorian era, Edwardian era, like that. So, this Alfred Lord Tennyson, he was belonged to the Victorian era, where Queen Victoria ruled England. So, during this time, Victorians dealt with social, economical, and religious and intellectual issues. They had the growing class tension and pressure against the Industrial Revolution. Because this is the time period that Industrial Revolution came into power. So, people were against, I mean the commoner, the ordinary people, they were against politics, they were against Christianity, I mean the religion. And in the Industrial Revolution, what happened was, poets like Alfred Lord Tennyson, they had to write poems regarding these social issues. So, before Victorian era, poets like Wordsworth, they were using these imaginations, and they used the era was Romanticism. So Romanticism means it's nothing to do with love or romance or Valentine's Day. It is something to do with nature. They loved nature and they were highly imaginative people, and they wrote poems regarding nature. So like that, Alfred Lord Tennyson did not like that. So he did not like to write anything about romanticism, because his people were suffering with these issues like Industrial Revolution. They were having problems like growing tension, and they were against the hierarchy people, powerful people, like that. So during that time, so what happened was, Alfred Lord Tennyson, in his poems, it influenced by his birthplace, Lincolnshire, in England, right? He was fascinated by the sea and the sandy beaches. He was inspired to write poems, The Eagle. When Tennyson traveled in the Pyrenees, scenic mountain range, it was one of the Tennyson's favorite places. It was on the border between Spain and France. He especially loved the valley, Coutrets, where the Pyrenees mountain ranges were. So children, when he was traveling in these places, he normally goes to these Pyrenees mountain ranges. And he saw the Kutris valleys. He saw eagles perch on mountains. And this is how he wrote eagle. But children, now he saw the Pyrenees mountain. Instead of the Pyrenees mountain, he took the image of a crab. That's why in eagle, we have the crab. And instead of the image of the valley, he took the image of the sea. So children, we do not have a valley in the eagle poem. So because of that, that means he saw the, what you call this, Kutrit's valley, but he did not like to take the Kutrit's valley. Instead of that, he took the beautiful sea. Okay, children. So now, before moving into the poem, children, we should, discuss about the topic. Now look at the topic, the eagle. When we hear this, the eagle, we need to have we need to draw a mind map. Now we need to have we need to gather the characteristics of an eagle. So like that, what I tell my students is to draw a mind map of an eagle, and we can write all the characteristics of an eagle. So when we write, when we take the eagle as a bird, what comes to our mind? First, it comes to our mind that the bird is a king. We say the eagle is the king of birds. When it comes to authority, it has authority power. And we can take eagle as a powerful bird. And sometimes, it is a dominant bird as well. And we can say that the eagle is a dangerous bird, in the sense because it is a carnivorous bird. Who is a carnivorous bird, children? A carnivorous bird is a bird who, a bird who eats flesh, right? And it has agile power. What do you mean by agile power? A bird has agile power. What is it? It can fly, right? So this bird can fly high. And the other characteristics that I say, the eagle has swiftness. What is the meaning of swiftness? The rapid speed of the bird, where it can fly into higher places, right? And we can say, so these are the things that the students have told me. I have gathered all the information, and they have told me that they are very vigilant. Yeah, they are very vigilant. These birds are very vigilant, otherwise they won't be able to catch their prey. And what about their physical features? Yeah, they have a sharp beak. What about sharp claws, like that? And the other thing, children, they are unreachable, inaccessible, right? And it is because they are dangerous and carnivorous birds, we call them as predators, right? And the other one is they live in solitary, right? We can name them as solitary birds. That means they are very rare to see. What do you mean by a solitary birds? Because the eagle lives in a high elevation. And what I say is, children, now if you do not know a characteristics of an eagle, just imagine, we say in a company, a boss, I always say, in a company, a boss needs to be like an eagle rather than a parrot. Now just compare these two things, eagle and the parrot. What is the meaning of an eagle and a parrot? A parrot is always a bird who wants to be in a flock and always chatters and always wants company with the other birds. Ne? And the other thing here, the eagle is not such. It lives a solitary life, and it lives in a high elevations, which it does not like to be in pairs or in flocks. So it lives alone. So that's what I say. In a company, a boss needs to be like an eagle, not like a parrot. That means that boss needs to have authority power, very powerful, very dominant, needs to be alone without your friends and all. If not, you're not going to have any respect at all if you're going to be with your friends and take decisions. That is something else out of this, right? So we'll just move, we'll just discuss about the poem here. Now, look at the poem. So this is in a fragment. What is a fragment, children? A fragment, this is this is the shortest poem in our syllabus, O-level syllabus. This is the shortest poem that we have got. And see how many stanzas are there. We have only two stanzas, and each stanza is a quatrain. And look at the rhyming scheme, children. Each stanza is a quatrain, and look at the rhyming scheme. Now, you know how to find a rhyming scheme. Now, we'll look at the first, we'll just go through the first stanza and see hands, lands, and stands. So, we make it as A, because hands, lands, stands, it is the same pronunciation, or the sound is the same. So we make it as A. Now when we go to the second one, the end of the rhyming word becomes crawls, walls, and falls. Again, it is a different type of a rhyming word. I mean, sound is there. So for falls, walls, crawls, we use B. So, if someone asks what is the rhyming scheme of this poem, you have to say it is A stroke. Why do we use a stroke there, children? Because we are separating a stanza. When we are separating a stanza, children, we have to use a stroke there. So, A stroke, B. So, that is the rhyming scheme of this poem. Okay. So, that is the rhyming scheme. So, we'll forget about that also. Now, we have to discuss about the poem in a surface meaning. And then we have to take the literary way. I mean, the deeper meaning of this poem. Because literature is not just talking about a surface meaning. We have to go beyond the words. We go beyond the poem. Because the meaning comes there. Every time the poet, though he talks about a bird or a rabbit or an elephant or a flower, he doesn't just mean about it. He talks something, it's something to do with the society. So children, we need to discuss first about the surface meaning. So we'll just move on to the first stanza. So it says, he claps the crag with crooked hands, close to the sun in lonely lands. Ring with the azure world he stands. The wrinkled sea beneath him crawls. He watches from his mountain walls, and like a thunderbolt he falls. Okay, look at the first stanza. Look at the first line, children. He claps the crag with crooked hands. Now you will wonder, we are talking about an eagle, about a bird. So why they have used he here, right? So when we say he and hands, normally for a bird we don't use hands, we use claws. So why the poet has used he and claws here? Why he hasn't used it and claws here? There is a purpose for it. What do you call that technique? It is personification. He has used two personifications in the first line. He hands. What about the other things, children? Claps the crag with crooked. So look at the cur sound here. The C's are there. Three C's are there. Claps, crag, crooked. Though the letter seems to be C there, when it comes to the sound, we call it K sound, children. When K sounds comes there, do you feel comfortable? Isn't it an unpleasant sound? K, K, K. So that is something unpleasant and a harsh sound. So we call that technique, it is an alliteration, because K, K, K sounds at the beginning of each word, K has occurred there. And it says, children, the crag. What is a crag? It is a rocky cliff. As I told you earlier, students, Alfred Lord Tennyson saw a mountain, but in his poem, To the Eagle, he never used a mountain. Instead of the mountain, he used a crag. But this crag is a rocky type of a cliff in a high elevation. So, what crooked hands. Now, you will wonder, what are these crooked hands? Now, look at a bird, especially when you can visualize an eagle. Look at his claws. Is it so beautiful? No, it looks like an old person's hand. It's very ugly, children. Look at his skin. It's like crooked hands. His claws. Look at his claws. It's in a weird way. So it's crooked. We call it crooked hands. Okay, so that is the first. So when you see the children, when you look at the first line, you have found personification and you have found you have found alliteration. What about assonance, children? Claps, crag, crew, hag. When we find these sounds, we call them, children, assonance. We call it assonance, right? Okay, that is that. Okay, we'll move, we'll go to the second sentence. Close to the sun in lonely lands. Now, when you look at this first phrase, close to the sun, what is the technique there? It's a hyperbole. Hyperbole. You know what is a hyperbole, children? Hyperbole means exaggeration. It's an exaggeration. Who can get closer to the sun? Nobody can. So it says close to the sun in lonely lands, children. There is another literary technique. There, la is there. Low la. Again, assonance is there, and la, again you find alliteration there, right? So, this bird is close to the sun in lonely lands. Again, it shows that this bird lives all alone. As a solitary bird, as a rare bird, it shows us that it lives alone in lonely land. But when it says, children, close to the sun, it shows that it lives in a high elevation. That means this crag is in a high elevation where it's perched on it and it's looking at something. We'll see. Then the third line says, children, ring with the azure world he stands. Now, what is this azure world? You must be wondering, what is this azure world? We'll see. Again, the poet says, children, he stands. Again, there is personification. We cannot use he here. Instead of he, we have to use it. But he purposely has done this, children, using personification technique. He has used the personification technique, children, for a purpose. Now, we have to see what is the purpose. We'll see. Ring with the azure world he stands. What is a ring, children? Now look, azure world means the blues, dark blue sky. Okay, the azure world, right? So it is a kind of a symbol, and here the blue world with a ring. Now when the birds is perched on a crag, the sky can be seen as a ring. So here it is like he is wearing a crown. It shows the majesty of the bird. It shows the majesty of the bird. Now he is like standing there like a king there. So it suggests that ring with the Asura world he stands. Now he stands like an almighty god there. That's why they have used the words children stands. Without perch, they have, if it is perch children, we just think, oh, the bird is perch on a crag. So what is there? But when he stands, there is something royalty is there. So majesty, the way he stands there. So ring with the Asura world, he stands. Okay, so now we have discussed the, what you call the first stanza. Now,